Lecture topic, Tolerance and Forbearance, Part 1.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala al-mab'uuthi rahmatan lil alameen. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man walahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin wa ba'd. Faqad qala jalla wa ala fi kitabihil majid wa furqanihil hamid. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم عبس وتولى أن جاءه الأعمى وما يدريك لعله يزكى أو يذكر فتنفعه الذكرى وقال تعالى إذ جعل الذين كفروا في قلوبهم الحمية حمية الجاهلية فأنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وألزمهم كلمة التقوى وكانوا أحق بها وأهلها وكان الله بكل شيء عليما وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم ما جمع شيء إلى شيء أحسن من حلم إلى علم أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, mothers and sisters, I have recited before you the opening verses of Surah Abbas, which is a chapter of the 30th juz of the Quran. The circumstances that prompted the revelation of this verse is rather well known. Essentially, it was revealed regarding a Sahabi by the name of Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiyallahu anhu wa ardaah, who was visually impaired. Atan Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa huwa yunaji Utbah ibn Rabi'a wa Aba Jahl ibn Hisham wa Ubayyan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was inviting some high profile, prominent, influential disbelievers to Islam. Yad'uhum ila Allahi ta'ala wa yarju Islamahum, and optimistic that they will embrace the faith. فَقَامَ إِبْنُ أُمِّ مَكْتُومٍ Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu came, and unaware that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is engaged in a dialogue simply because he was blind, and he interrupted the discussion by saying, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ عَلِّمْنِي مِمَّا عَلَّمَكَ اللَّهِ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inspire me with the knowledge that Allah has inspired you. وَجَعَلَ يُنَادِيهِ وَيُكَرِّرُ النِّدَاءَ And he started calling out to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he repeated himself. وَهُوَ لَا يَدْرِي أَنَّهُ مُقْبِلٌ عَلَى غَيْرِهِ And he doesn't understand that he's interrupting a dialogue and a discussion. حَتَّى ظَهَرَتِ الْكَرَاهِيَةَ فِي وَجْهِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the extent that symptoms of disapproval manifested on the blessed face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibril descended, فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ هَذِهِ الْآيَاتِ And these verses were then revealed. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say in these verses? عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَن جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى Allah admonishes and disciplines the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says he frowned and he turned his back. But the scholars of tafsir tell us, accommodating the lofty rank of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to minimize the impact of the discipline, when Allah admonished his Nabi also, Allah somehow made it mild in the approach. So one approach could have been abasta wa tawallaita. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you frowned and you turned your back. But Allah used a neutral phrase. Allah said he frowned to reduce the impact of the discipline. Our mother Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha said, "Law katama Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam shay'an min al-wahy" لَكَتَمَ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to hypothetically conceal any revelation, potentially he would have concealed this verse. But we salute his integrity. that he conveyed to us the verses where Allah praised him, and he equally conveyed to us the verses where Allah disciplined him. He conveyed to us both the verses. Now in Bayanul Quran, there is a phenomenal deliberation over these verses. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam applied his logic to which we all will relate. What was the logic? And this is the example given. That here you have high profile, eminent people who in medical terminologies equate terminally ill patients. And on the other hand, you have Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu, a devout and a dedicated sahabi. Medically speaking, he had a basic flu or a regular fever. Nothing out of the ordinary. Logic calls to prioritize with those that are terminally ill. Hence the Prophet focused his attention to those that were terminally ill. But Allah cautioned him. And Allah said, "Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your logic is correct. That you attend to the terminally ill, provided he seeks cure." Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you turn to the terminally ill and you treat him, provided he seeks cure. In your current situation, they are terminally ill, but they are still in denial of their illness, leave alone aspiring for cure. So focus on Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, who wants to clean himself from a flu also. My brothers, I don't want to be bold to speak on your behalf, nor would I suggest on your behalf, my sister, but I can tell you I am spiritually terminally ill. Let us sit here in admission to our sickness, and we hope by us exploring briefly the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we can stand up from here cured to an extent. We can stand up from here to a degree. The Arabic poet said, "Utahhiru athwabi wa qalbi mudnasun. أطهر أثوابي وقلبي مدنس وأخشى سهام الموت تفجأ غفلة وما سار بي نحو الرسول ركاب وقلبي معمور بحب محمد فما لي في غير الحجاز طلاب يحن إلى أوطانه كل مسلم فقدس منها منزل وجناب فأسعد أيامي إذا قيل هذه منازل من وادي الحمى وقباب فجسمي في مصر وروحي بطيبة." He said, "أطهر أثوابي." I passionately see to the cleanliness of my external garment. "أطهر أثوابي وقلبي مدنس." Whereas my heart is polluted and contaminated. وَأَخْشَى سِهَامَ الْمَوْتِ تَفْجَأُ غَفْلًا. And I'm afraid the arrow of death might strike me suddenly. وَمَا سَارَ بِي نَحْوَ الرَّسُولِ رِكَابُ. And now my fears are haunting me. I've made it to New York, and I've made it to Paris, and to Malaysia, and to Dubai, but I haven't yet entered the city of Medina. وَمَا سَارَ بِي نَحْوَ الرَّسُولِ رِكَابُ. وَقَلْبِي مَعْمُورٌ بِحُبِّ مُحَمَّدٍ. But Allah knows my heart beats with the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمَا لِي فِي غَيْرِ الْحِجَازِ طِلَابُ. Split my heart and you'll find no other aspiration. يَحُنُّ إِلَىٰ أَوْطَانِهِ كُلُّ مُسْلِمٍ. And that ought to be the zeal of every Muslim. فَقُدِّسَ مِنْهَا مَنْزِلٌ وَجَنَابُ. He says, everything but everything of Medina is sacred. Everything about Medina is sacred. فَأَسْعَدُ أَيَّامِي إِذَا قِيلَ هَذِهِ مَنَازِلُ مِنْ وَادِ الْحِمَى وَقُبَابُ. The noblest day in my life would be that moment. And let's go down memory lane. As you come to Medina, and Allah take us repeatedly, and there is a flush of emotions, and there is a pinnacle of spirituality, and then there is this guilt that also grips you, because I don't fit the profile to stand before my Nabi. فَأَسْعَدُ أَيَّامِي. The noblest day in my life would be, إِذَا قِيلْ. when it would be told to me, open your eyes. فأسعد أيامي إذا قيل هذه منزل من وادي الحما وقباب. And what you see in front of you, my brother, is literally the green dome, and beneath it resides the greatest human. فجسمي في مصر وروحي بطيبة. He says, while I physically live in Egypt, Allah knows my soul dwells in Medina. Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i rahimahumullah, nawar Allahu marqadahu, Allah fill his grave with nur, expressing his profound love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he conveyed it in two couplets. And I cried excessively when I read this. He said, La in kana dhanbi hubba ali Muhammadin, فَذَٰلِكَ ذَنْبٌ لَسْتُ عَنْهُ أَتُوبُ. If reflecting the external appearance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and internalizing his character constitutes a crime to the broader world, it equates extremism by the definition of others, then Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi says, let me not mince my words. This is a sin, in inverted commas, from which I will never repent. La in kana dhanbi hubba ali Muhammad. If my crime constitutes loving, then let me be very emphatic about it. Fadhalika dhanbun lastu anhu atubu. I'm not going to repent from this crime, because it doesn't constitute a crime to me. هم شفعائي يوم حشري وموقفي إذا ما بدت للناظرين خطوبو. He said, I toe the line with you, and I forsake him today. Would you rescue me on the day of Qiyamah? You're not going to rescue me. So I will hold with him and tag along with him. It is said about Majnu and Layla in his infatuation over his beloved, when his father took him to the Kaaba and said, repent from all crimes, he said, إِلَهِ تُبْتُ مِن كُلِّ الْمَعَاصِي وَلَكِنْ حُبَّ لَيْلَى لَا أَتُوبُ. اللَّهُمَّ لَا تَسْلُبْنِي حُبَّهَا أَبَدًا وَيَرْحَمُ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا قَالَ آمِينًا. Oh my Lord, I repent from all my crimes, but the infatuation that I have over my beloved. So here stands a man infatuated over a woman and he doesn't retract. Imam Shafi says, you want me to retract from the love that I have for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? The greatest deficiency today we have, I mean, we can expound further and further on the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the point is, where do we lack the most is when it comes to character. There is an absolute vacuum. If you look at the letters the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam wrote to the different kings, rulers and emperors, and the correspondence that took place, some accepted the faith, others declined. Amongst those that embraced the faith was one particular ruler. And after embracing Islam, he made a profound declaration. He said, لَقَدْ دَلَّنِي عَلَىٰ هَذَا النَّبِيِّ أَنَّهُ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِخَيْرٍ إِلَّا كَانَ أَوَّلَ آخِذٍ بِهِ وَلَا يَنْهَى عَنْ شَرٍ إِلَّا كَانَ أَوَّلَ تَارِكٍ لَهُ وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُ أَنَّهُ يَغْلِبْ فَلَا يَبْطُرْ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ نَبِيٌّ. The thing that intrigued me the most about this man is, never did he advocate good, but that he was the first to implement it. Nor did he prohibit wrong, but that he was the first to abstain from it. I seen him enjoy repeated success, but free from pride. I swear by Allah, he is the man. Now my pain is, my brother, that alhamdulillah many a Muslims are very vocal and vociferous, and rightfully so, in defending the personality of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when derogatory comments are leveled against him and inflammatory comments are made. And we put pen to paper, we seize the media, we come on platforms and we promote the pristine personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But if we have failed miserably in reflecting his image, then it's practically. If we have failed miserably, then it is practically. I want to single out one quality of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam,
and this is my general approach towards my seerah programs, and then drive a message home. Just one quality from his blessed life. I mean, people have written and they will continue to write. No human's life has been recorded and documented. I spoke about the incident of Abbas now and Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum. But on a subtle note, the scholars have explored a different dimension to this. And they say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's appearance has been described in the Quran. Nay, his facial expressions has also been mentioned in the Quran. So while the message, that's not the dalalatun, that's not the, you know, sarahatun nas, isharatun nas. By the way, these things have also come about, meaning every aspect of his life has been captured in the Quran. And that is the quality of tolerance in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today, it's the lack of tolerance, forbearance, maturity that we infuse so many situations and they become so ugly, and unfortunately, many a times the consequences are irreversible. If we all, in the broadest context, can develop the forbearance and the tolerance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then wallah, it will positively contribute to every aspect of our life. To start off, what is the definition of tolerance? ضَبْتُ النَّفْسِ حَتَّى لَا يُخْرَجْ مِنْهَا مَا يُكْرَهُ قَوْلًا كَانَ أَوْ فِعْلًا. To suppress the ego so that nothing unpleasant is done or said. To suppress the emotions, to control the provocations so that nothing unpleasant is said or done. The hadith I quoted before you, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا جُمِعَ شَيْءٌ إِلَى شَيْءٍ أَحْسَنُ مِنْ حِلْمٍ إِلَى عِلْمٍ. There cannot possibly be a greater union or a more impressive combination than uniting knowledge with tolerance. If you want to put two amazing qualities together, put knowledge with tolerance, and that's the best combination. Now the average person today, including myself, we're devoid of knowledge and tolerance. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that's the ideal union. The ideal union is a person, an embodiment of knowledge and an embodiment of tolerance. Now just to cite few examples, how tolerance manifested in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We talk of psychology today. We talk of therapy. Really, where the psychology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ended, the psychology of today doesn't even start there. And I will explain it to you. So here is an incident. Now the villagers, if you're familiar with hadith, they used to live on the outskirts of the city. They used to come to Medina, not familiar with the etiquettes of city life, not very cultured. So often they would do things that the Sahaba would not do, simply because they lived on the outskirts and they would come and conduct themselves in a different manner. Anyway, here comes a villager to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allama Yusuf Nabahani rahimahumullah makes mention of the following narrations. He comes and he asks the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something. فَأَعْطَاهُ sallallahu alaihi wasallam شَيْئًا. Nabi sallallahu alaihi took out something and gave him. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, أَحْسَنْتُ إِلَيْكَ. Do you agree I've been kind to you? قَالَ لَا وَلَا أَجْمَلْتَ. You haven't been kind and you've never been generous. فغضب المسلمون وقاموا إليه. Sahaba became angry. That was provoking Sahaba. And you can imagine Umar رضي الله عنه. They stood up. فأشار إليهم أن كفوا. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم exercised and indicated to them that exercise restraint. Let's just bring calmness. Let's not react hastily. We need calmness here. We need balance. فأشار إليهم أن كفوا. Can you people move one side? ثم دخل منزله. He entered his house. وأرسل إلى الأعرابي. And he sent a message, called the villager again. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took out something else and gave him again. Now everything we can follow, you gave someone, this is what he tells you, audacity to tell you this. Your Sahaba want to interject, you tell them move out. You go in your house, you take out money again and you give it to the man. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ahsantu ilayk. Would you agree I have been kind to you? نعم وجزاك الله من أهل وعشيرة خيرا. Yes, indeed, you've been really kind and generous. Allah bless you and your family abundantly. But it doesn't end here, my brother. Your hair will stand on ends. What a Nabi we have. Now look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, listen, come here, O Valija. إِنَّكَ قُلْتَ مَا قُلْتَ وَفِي نَفْسِ أَصْحَابِي شَيْءٌ مِّنْ ذَلِكَ فَإِنْ أَحْبَبْتَ فَقُلْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِمْ مَا قُلْتَ بَيْنَ يَدَيَّ. Listen, you said what you said, and because of that, it left some sourness in the hearts of my Sahaba. Thereafter, I gave you more, and you thanked me. If I'm not imposing on you, can you repeat those words of thanks that you've made towards me in front of my Sahaba so it clears their heart of any misgivings towards you? Just not that me and him are resolved and the chapter ends here. If we patch up, we cannot be bothered about others. So one villager came and he said, Allahumma arhamni warham Muhammada wa la tarham ma'ana ahada. Abu Dawud. Oh Allah, have mercy on me and have mercy on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and besides us, don't have mercy on anyone, Allah. What we would say? Allah reward you, my brother. Ameen. Thumma ameen. My Nabi said, laqad hajjarta wasi'a. Why have you restricted something that by its nature is infinite? The mercy of Allah has no limits. Extend it to the entire creation. Why only me and you? Nabi Sassam said, I gave you. Would you repeat those words if I'm not imposing on you? He said, I'm fine with it. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْعَشِيُّ. That evening. Now I'm asking the seniors of our community and our locality and our people in general, if those at the top have this maturity, a father, a guardian, a mother-in-law, a teacher, a principal, anybody in any authority, if this is the maturity with which we operate. فَلَمَّا كَانَ الْعَشِيُّ, that evening, Atal A'rabi, the villager comes. This is something that needs to be nipped in the bud. We can't delay this, because there's bickering amongst our ranks. We can't go to sleep when this is the condition. When he sat down, look at the psychology of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That is why I said, where the psychology of today ends, where the psychology of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam ends, the psychology of today doesn't even begin there. When he came and he sat down and the Sahaba were there, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ هَذَا الْأَعْرَابِ قَالَ مَا قَالَ فَزِدْنَاهُ فَزَعِمَ أَنَّهُ رَضِيَ ذَلِكَ أَكَذَلِكَ. Listen, this villager came this morning and he said what he said. Again, look at the psychology. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't spell his words out again, because that's inflammatory. Why repeat it? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's phrase was, he said what he said. That provoked you, O my Sahaba. Subsequent to that, I gave him more and he acknowledged me. Am I right? Nabi Sassam looked at the village. Am I right? He said, yes. Na'am wa jazakallahu min ahlin wa ashiratin khayra. O Muhammad, Allah reward you, Allah bless you and your family. Nabi Sassam said, okay, that's good, you can go. Then he addressed his Sahaba. He said, listen to me, O my Sahaba. Inna mathali wa mathala hadha al-a'rabiyyi kamathali rajulin kanat lahu naqatun sharadat alayhi فاتبعها الناس فلم يزيدوها إلا نفورا فناداهم صاحب الناقة خلوا بيني وبين ناقتي فأنا أرفق بها وأنا أعلم فأخذ لها من قمام الأرض حتى ردها هونا هونا فجاءت واستناخت وشد عليها رحلها واستوى بها وإني لو تركتكم حيث قال الرجل ما قال فقتلتموه دخل النار أو كما قال. Oh my Sahaba, let me simplify this entire ordeal. My example in the gentleman here, the villager, is was like a man who has a camel. Here stands a person and this is his camel. Sharadat alayhi, his camel fled from him. Fattaba'aha an-nasu. So people said, let's apprehend the camel, let's intercept the camel and reunite it with its master. فَلَمْ يَزِيدُوهَا إِلَّا نُفُورًا. But they lack the art and they lack the skill. So they aggravated the animal and it fled further. فَنَادَاهُمْ صَاحِبُ النَّاقَةِ. In came the owner of the camel. He said, خَلُّوا بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ نَاقَتِي. Listen, brothers, folks, move aside. I know my camel and it knows me. أَنَا أَرْفَقُ بِهَا وَأَعْلَمُ. I'm riding the animal for long. The animal knows me and I know the animal. أَخَذَ لَهَا مِنْ قُمَامِ الْأَرْضِ حَتَّى رَدَّهَا هَوْنًا هَوْنًا. He, in his art, in his psychology, in his mannerism, he gradually brought the animal close, set it down, comforted it, mounted onto the back of the animal, gripped its reins, and off he went. وَإِنِّي لَوْ تَرَكْتُكُمْ حَيْثُ قَالَ الرَّجُلُ مَا قَالَ فَقَتَلْتُمُوهُ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. And if I had not to intervene when he made the commands and you were rightfully provoked, and you would have killed him, this man would have been in hell. Allah made me a means, I intervened, calmness came to the situation. Allah is pleased with him and I am pleased with him. Now this is the forbearance of Nabi alayhi salam. Surah Hujurat speaks extensively about the qualities in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there is an incident mentioned there that Harith bin Zirar, who was the father of Juwayriya radiyallahu anha, who is one of the honorable consorts of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hence Harith is the father-in-law of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he accepted Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him, I am making you in charge of your tribe, and annually I will collect zakat from you. You must collect the money, we will send someone to receive it from you. Harith radiyallahu anhu said, that is fine. On the appointed time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Walid ibn Uqba radiyallahu anhu that go to their tribe and collect the money. Walid ibn Uqba radiyallahu anhu leaves, and as read the narration of Ibn Kathir, as he gets close to the locality, he sees that people have congregated outside the locality. Now prior to Islam, Walid ibn Uqba and this tribe, and Harith in particular radiyallahu anhu, had some altercations and skirmishes. So he interpreted their congregation as potential hostility, and perhaps that previous altercations have reignited. He said, I wonder if they have a nasty agenda here. They're congregating on the outskirts. They're going to have a ploy. They might intercept me and kill me. So he abandoned his mission. And he came back to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, O Prophet of Allah, I was going there, but I seen these people standing outside. If I read the situation correctly, I think they have revolted and they have rebelled and they have forsaken their faith and they plot to kill me. When this statement, the Ibn Kathir has the full narration, when he said this, hell broke loose amongst the ranks of Sahaba. O Nabi of Allah, we should engage them. I mean, physically, let's take them on. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, can we have calmness? Can we have calmness in the situation? He said, Khalid, go and pursue the matter. Make no move till you don't get back to me. Khalid, pursue the matter and relate back to me. Let's take it step by step. Let's not be hasty. Khalid radiallahu anhu leaves. They camp outside the town. The next morning they send spies. When they go there, it's all welcome. We waiting. So Khalid radiallahu anhu said, but this is the news that has reached us. He said, no, we congregated with the hope of welcoming the messenger of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There was a misunderstanding here. So he comes back. Jibril descends. إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ فَتَبَيَّنُوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. When information comes your way, don't react till you don't probe it. Lest you strike with ignorance and you regret what you cannot retract. Then Allah revealed the verse, وَاعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. O companions, you should know Allah's Nabi is amongst you. Now many Sahaba had a passionate agenda that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is taking a very lax approach. When a man is telling us categorically they have rebelled, what's the delay? Let's take them on. Allah said, لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ. Give your opinion to the Nabi, but don't impose it. If he had to comply with your suggestion and you engage your own brothers, you would have been regretting till Qiyamah. You would have been regretting till Qiyamah. لَوْ يُطِيعُكُمْ. If he obeys you, فِي كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْرِ لَعَنِتُّمْ. You would have been in a problem. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ. those who accuse Islam for being bloodthirsty and they are desirous to kill, they should read these verses. When Palestine was conquered and the news was communicated to Umar ibn Khattab that, oh, Umar, you should come here and it's only your presence that can avert a bloodshed. There was difference of opinion amongst the Sahaba in Medina. Some said that if you go, it might signal weakness, that you're avoiding a battle, a confrontation. Others felt that, no, Umar, go forward, and if your presence can avert bloodshed, why not? Umar radiallahu anhu said, if I know my presence can save one life also, I'll travel from Medina to Palestine. And he went, only on the name that lives can be saved and preserved. Another incident, also a villager comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wants to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something. Sahaba said, "La tas'alhu ya a'rabi fa inna nunkiru lawnahu." Listen, brother, sit down nicely. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's complexion is pale now. We understand him well. This is not the right time. It's fragile, it's sensitive. Please don't go forward. Leave me alone. وَالَّذِي بَعَثَهُ بِالْحَقِّ نَبِيًّا لَا أَدَعُهُ حَتَّى يَتَبَسَّمْ. I swear by Allah who made him a Nabi, when I end off talking to him, he'll be smiling and laughing. Now for me, that speaks volumes on how accessible my Nabi was. That a villager knew I can break all barriers and go straight to him. Number one. Number two, what else I read in this hadith is, and Allah alone knows how much more is within it, is that if my Nabi was angry with a particular person, an innocent party wasn't a victim to his anger. To start off, nobody was a victim, because it was anger in moderation and within parameters and absolutely justifiable. But be it as it may, if you argue the term, I agree with you. But a second innocent party was never a victim. So a villager could come in and say, if he's angry, that's between you and him. I got nothing going on. I can go and speak to him. So he comes and he taps my Nabi. Allahu Akbar. He said, Ya Rasulullah, balaghana anna al-masih, ya'ni al-dajjal, ya'ti al-nasa bil-thareed, wa qad halaku ju'an, afatara bi abi anta wa ummi, an akuffa an thareedihi, tanazzuhan wa ta'affufan, am adhriba fi thareedihi, حتى إذا تضلعت شبعا آمنت بالله وكفرت به. O Nabi of Allah, I don't know, but this narration has reached me that amongst the temptations that Dajjal will present, one is he will present delicious food when people will be dying with hunger. So I'm just like weighing my options now. Should I abstain from the food because it's Dajjal and then obviously I die? Or is it a plan, O Nabi of Allah, that I go there, eat nicely, when I'm full, I'm telling him, no, I don't accept your religion, now I'm a Muslim. That's the clear words of the hadith. O Nabi of Allah, I've been told, أن الدجال يأتي الناس بالثريد. Now if you're familiar with Arabic, and if you know hadith, then you will know thareed is a terminology that features in the hadith. You know, you go to Malawi, they say, you must eat chambu. You don't eat this year, you didn't come here. You travel in the Middle East, hummus, sheikh, this is what you have to eat. Thareed was a delicacy amongst the Arabs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَضْلُ عَيْشَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ كَفَضْلِ الثَّرِيدِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الطَّعَامِ. My Aisha over all other women is like how your thareed is over all other foods. How you say that delicacy over any other meal, that's my Aisha over all other women. So, O Nabi of Allah, I heard, أَنَّ الدَّجَّال يَأْتِ النَّاسَ بِالثَّرِيدِ. That Dajjal will come with this delicacy. وَقَدْ هَلَكُوا جُوعًا. When people will be dying with hunger and poverty. أَفَتَرَى بِأَبِي أَنْتَ وَأُمِّي أَنْ أَكُفَّ عَنْ ثَرِيدِهِ تَنَزُّهًا وَتَعَفُّفًا. Should I abstain and forsake that because it's Dajjal's food? أَمْ أَذْرِبَ فِي ثَرِيدِهِ. Or I can go and say, no, you make sense, you know what? You level a healthy argument. Let me listen to you. And I sit down. Hatta إِذَا تَضَلَّعْتُ شِبْعًا. When I'm saturated and I burp, آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ وَكَفَرْتُ بِهِ. I say, I bring iman on Allah. Your faith doesn't make sense to me. Sahaba say, فَضَحِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ حتى بدت نواجزه. Nabi alayhi salam started smiling, and we love that smile because now we got to see that blessed teeth as well. He said, لا بل يغنيك الله بما أغنى به المؤمنين. No, Valija. He says the believers will be hungry at that time, and Allah will suffice for them. If you live up to see, Allah will provide for you. But you're not eating the Dajjal's food. لا بل يغنيك الله بما أغنى به المؤمنين. Third narration, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu says, I'm walking with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَلَيْهِ بُرْدٌ غَلِيظُ الْحَاشِيَةِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a garment. A villager comes from the rear. جَذَبَهُ جَبْذَةً شَدِيدًا. He comes and he physically jolts the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then, Ya Muhammad. Now, omitting all the titles of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Muhammad, ihmilli ala ba'iray hadhain min mali Allah alladhi 'indak fa innaka la tahmilu li min malika wala mali abik. Listen, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give me some of the provisions you have and load my two camels, because I must tell you straight, it's not yours and it's not your father's. These are the words of the hadith. If you read Arabic, I'll give you the hadith, my brother. Allama Yusuf Nabhani has made mention of it in his kitab Wasa'il al-Wusul. فَإِنَّكَ لَا تَحْمِلُ مِن مَالِكَ وَلَا مَالِ أَبِيكَ. It's not your money and it's not your father's. What's the psychology of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? فَسَّكَتَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ قَلِيلًا. Abu Huraira said he just observed silence. There was a pause. Because it's a human. What did Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi say? مَنِ اسْتُغْضِبَ فَلَمْ يَغْضَبْ فَهُوَ حِمَارٌ وَمَنِ اسْتُرْضِيَ فَلَمْ يَرْضَ فَهُوَ شَيْطَانٌ. Whoever is provoked and he doesn't become angry is a donkey. Meaning it's human to react, but then to contain yourself, that is the virtue. But you cannot expect not to become angry. What you would want to achieve is that you control your anger. But to say that I get to that level, that I'm never attracted by a woman, that will never happen, because Allah told Nabi alayhi salam, وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ حُسْنُهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا مَلَكَتْ يَمِينُكَ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you cannot wed any other woman even if you're attracted by their beauty, which means attraction to something beautiful is inherent. So Imam Shafi rahmatullahi said, "Man istughdiba falam yaghdab fahuwa himar." But he also said, "Wa man isturdiya falam yarda fahuwa shaytan." And that person whom you apologize to and he doesn't accept your apology, he's the devil himself. He's the devil himself. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kept quiet. Then he looked at the villager and he said, Al-malu malullah wa ana abduhu. You're quite correct. The wealth is Allah's. And for the record, I never said it's mine. I am the servant of Allah. But you know what? Wa yuqadu minka ya a'rabi ala ma fa'alta. You know what? Revenge will be taken from you for what you did to me. You don't have the rights to do what you did. Now, if somebody just shows us any derogatory, I'll put my lawyer on to you. Defamation. Character assassination. He said, La, you can't take revenge. Now, look at the audacity. You provoke it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, you know what? I can take revenge. You cannot. And why? لِأَنَّكَ لَا تُكَافِي بِالسَّيِّئَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. Because all the divine scriptures said that you forgive. All the divine scriptures. He's got his answers also. You know, when if a youngster tell us something, لِأَنَّكَ لَا تُكَافِئُ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ السَّيِّئَةِ. Because all the divine scriptures say your trait is that when someone provokes you, you mellow. Nabi saw some smile. He said, you are right. Then he told the Sahaba, put some dates here and put some flour and let him go. Put some dates on this here, put some flour and tell him to go. So he came to Abu Sufyan. He said, أَلَمْ يَعْنِ لَكَ أَن تَعْلَمْ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Abu Sufyan, is it not high time that you accept I am Allah's Nabi and Allah is the true being? He said, مَا أَحْلَمَكَ وَأَوْصَلَكَ وَأَكْرَمَكَ. You are dead right. When I look at your tolerance, the time is over. I have to embrace the faith. مَا أَحْلَمَكَ وَأَوْصَلَكَ وَأَكْرَمَكَ. Anas radiallahu anhu says, Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda rahimahumullah makes mention of this narration in his famous kitab, Al-Rasool Al-Muallim وأساليبه في التعليم. You know, people ask me which kitabs to read. Honestly, my brother, I read Arabic. So the literature is in Arabic. Much has been translated today, but there's volumes, there's oceans in the Arabic language. What a brilliant writing. What prolific writing of this particular kitab. Just the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a teacher, as a tutor. So anyway, Anas radiallahu anhu says, we are sitting in the masjid, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is amongst us. A person enters. Ayyukum Muhammad. Gentlemen, who amongst you is Muhammad? Now that tells me that for my Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was no VIP section. He was amongst us. قُلْنَا هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الْأَبْيَضُ الْمُتَّكِئُ. So we said, the fair-looking person here with this noor on his face, reclining, he is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, يَبْنَ عَبْدِ الْمُتَّلِبُ. Oh, the son of Abdul Muttalib. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَجَبْتُكَ. I'm listening, talk. He said, إِنِّي سَائِلُكَ. I'm going to ask you a few questions. And at the onset, these are the words of the hadith, وَمُشَدِّدٌ عَلَيْكَ. I have a very stern approach and I'm very harsh. That's my nature of talking. That's how I talk. فَلَا تَجِدَنَّ عَلَيَّ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Now if I unpack the grammar, it will run into time. Don't dare get angry with me. That's how I talk. I'm loud naturally. That's how we tell our wife, but when we talk to strange women, we're naturally soft. At home, we naturally loud, and when we talk to strange women, we naturally soft. Contradiction of inherent nature. فَلَا تَجِدَنَّ عَلَيَّ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Don't feel offended. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا أَجِدُ فِي نَفْسِي سَلْ عَمَّا بَدَالَكَ. My friend, you don't know me. I don't know what is anger. Ask your heart out. Ask my sahaba. I won't be offended. You don't have to tell me don't get angry. You're talking to me, my brother. You're talking to Allah's Nabi. But anyway, go for it. It's yours. أَسْأَلُكَ بِرَبِّكَ وَرَبِّ مَنْ قَبْلَكَ. أَسْأَلُكَ بِرَبِّكَ وَرَبِّ مَنْ قَبْلَكَ. اللَّهُ أَرْسَلَكَ إِلَى النَّاسِ كُلِّهِمْ. I ask you in the name of your Allah and the Allah of those that preceded you. Is this an absolute truth or is a myth that Allah has sent you as a prophet? Allahumma na'am, Allah has sent me. I'm not overweight. أَنْشُدُكَ بِاللَّهِ. I take a qasam on Allah. Allahu amaraka an nusalli hadhihi as-salawat al-khams. There's five daily performances which are obligatory and mandatory. What's the origin? Has Allah instructed you or is it something you fabricated? Allah has instructed me. Anshuduka billah. Allahu amaraka an nasuma hadha ash-shahra min as-sana. This observing the fast, is this divine injunctions? Allahumma na'am, yes my brother, Allah has instructed me. Anshuduka billah. Sahaba say, we listening and we swallowing. And this man is going on, and the Prophet of Allah is calm. Anshuduka billah. What was the privilege of Sahaba when you think they sat with Allah's Nabi? I sometimes cry with excitement. I don't know how to start imagining. Imagine they held him. They sat by him. They seen him. My mother Aisha held him. Sa'id ibn Zayd said, Wallahi lamashhadu rajulin. مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ عُمَرِ أَحَدِكُمْ وَلَوْ أُمِّرَ عُمْرُ نُوحٍ. A second, a sahabi sat with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is greater in reward than your entire life of worship, even if Allah gives you the life of Nuh alayhi salam. Abu Dawud and Tirmizi have the narration. I ask you, Allahu amaraka an ta'khudha hadhihi sadaqah. مِنْ أَغْنِيَائِنَا فَتُقَسِّمَهَا عَلَىٰ فُقَرَائِنَا. This zakat you take from the rich and you distribute in the poor. What's the origin? Is it a divine command? Nabi Sassam said, yes, it's a divine command. He says, okay, now listen. I mean, one is you come there. Assalamu alaikum. How are you, brother? This is my name. Now let me introduce myself to you who I am. In the end of the dialogue, by the way, my name is Dhimam ibn Tha'labah. وَأَنَا آمَنْتُ بِمَا جِئْتَ بِهِ. And I accept whatever you've said, you make perfect sense, and I bring iman on you, and I will be relaying your message to my entire tribe. Assalamu alaikum. Wallah, and he walks out. Sahaba says, there's like pin drop silence. Now let me ask myself, and you decide for yourself, if somebody walks in, I'm teaching, Allah guide me. And if a student walks in and he makes this conversation, I won't even answer him. When he walks out, what were the words my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said? فَقِهَ الرَّجُلُ Alhamdulillah, the man understood the message. Alhamdulillah, whatever he understood the message. He brought iman, the message has been conveyed, the faith has been embraced, what more is needed? فَقِهَ الرَّجُلُ The man got the message. Like, that's our approach if the deal is done. The man is swearing you, yeah, but at least our deal is on, man. The deal is on. The containers are through, my friend. All right, whatever. That's how it is for me in business. فَقِهَ الرَّجُلُ The man got the message. It's over. Bukhari and Muslim narrate the hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar said, it's the occasion of Hunain. آثر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ناسا. Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم gave priority to certain people. أعطى أقرأ ابن حابس مئة من الإبل. Distributing the spoils of the war. He called أقرأ ابن حابس. He said, take 100 camels. He called Uyayna, he said, take 100 camels. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ هَذِهِ قِسْمَةٌ مَا أُرِيدَ بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ Somebody said, this distribution is devoid of fairness. And it looks like ikhlas is absent here. What were the words? Sincerity. مَا أُرِيدَ بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ So Abdullah ibn Umar said, I'm going to report that to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How dare you make that comments? So he comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and said, O Nabi of Allah, I have no objections to what you've decided. But these are the comments that are making their rounds. This is what people are saying. Now generally my attitude is when I go through something, I feel I have the greatest problem. Nabi Sassam went through the greatest, yet when he consoled himself, he said, Rahim Allahu Musa, laqad udhiya bi akthar fa sabr. Allah reward my late brother Musa. Worse was said to him, but he persevered. I'll also persevere. Allah reward my brother Musa. I think of him now. Much worse things were said to Musa alayhi salam. I'll also take solace from him and I'll persevere. يَسْأَلُكَ أَهْلُ الْكِتَابِ أَن تُنَزِّلَ عَلَيْهِمْ كِتَابًا مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ فَقَدْ سَأَلُوا مُوسَى أَكْبَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَقَالُوا أَرِنَا اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً Different things they said to Musa alayhi salam. Nasai Sharif, the narration is there. أَنَّ رَجُلًا مِّنَ الْيَهُودِ سَحَرَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ A Yahudi person cast a spell on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fashtaka li dhalika ayyama. He became sick for a few days. So he would eat, then he would tell Aisha radiallahu anha, I didn't eat. She said, no, you ate. Then he would slip up on basic things. Ja'ahu Jibril. Jibril alayhi salam came to him and he said, Inna rajulam min al-yahud saharaka. Aqada laka aqdan fi bi'ri kada. O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi this what you experience in, A spell has been cast upon you, and hair has been tied up in different knots and layers, and it has been left beneath a particular well. فَأَرْسِلْ إِلَيْهَا مَنْ يَجِيءَ بِهَا So why not depute one of your sahaba to go there and remove that hair and bring it to you? فَجَاءَهُ بِهَا فَحَلَّلَهَا Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ali, he said, Ali, go here, Jibreel has informed me, go to this well, take out the hair and bring it. And as it was untied, قال فقام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كأنما نشيت من عقال It was then opened up and it was as if the Prophet was unshackled and he felt loose and better and he recovered. Nasai Sharif says فما ذكر ذلك لليهودي ولا رآه في وجهه حتى مات Nabi Sassam never mentioned it to that person nay he avoided seeing him till the day he passed away. When he was told who the man was, you know, nasty comments and you point a finger and you make a facial gesture. Even if there was sawab being accumulated, it's destroyed.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.